The song I want to sing this morning was written by Dr. John R. Rice. When I miss that name, how many people know who that is? Okay, a lot of people know Dr. John R. Rice. He compiled the hymnal that we sing from here. I had the privilege of attending his last two birthday parties down Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And he was editor and of the soul of the Lord for many, many, many years. All right.
We say goodbye at parting with loved ones here below. We always hope to meet again as on our way we go. But oft our hearts are grieving for those we never meet. We'll say goodbye in sorrow till we meet at Jesus' feet. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. We greet and part with dear ones. We say hello, goodbye. And letters bind our fellowship. We miss them though we try to feel them always near us and follow them with prayer. But parting days are ended when we meet him in the air. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. Oh, happy, glad homecoming with Jesus in the sky. For sometimes he seems far away, though always if we try, we find him near to help us. His spirit dwells within, but only perfect union when we heaven enter in. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Enjoyed that. And thank you, Mrs. Tyner. Thank you, Brother Mott. I'd ask you to go ahead and take your Bibles out, if you would, please. And Brother Aguiar, if you'd come and preach to us.
Having your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you will, Amos chapter number 4. Amos chapter number 4. Good group of folks that's here this morning. I remember back in 1992 was the very first time we came to Independent Baptist Church. And Dr. Hankins was pastoring at that time here at the church. And I remember some different projects we worked on. And the church van had to have its transmission changed. I'm glad y'all got out of that spot. Boy, we was grease. We looked just like a grease monkey, if you know what I'm talking about. And we even have pictures of that time. My wife snapped some pictures. Brother Hankins and I was under the van taking it at the transmission out. And then we had revival services, and we would go door knocking, getting new folks in. And it's just been a joy over the years just seeing how God has blessed. And back then, there was only about 25, 30 folks or so, and just to see what God's done, it's just been a blessing. And it's just good to be with you. I will make mention, the Bible table, we do have a lot of different type of Bibles as far as King James Bibles. If you need a good study Bible, there are study Bibles. We also have ultra-thin Bibles for those really thin in life, and a lot of different ones. I've already had three or four folks ask me for the thumb index Bible. I am totally out of thumb index Bibles. They're hard to get now. But we do have quite a number of them there, and I hope you'll make a note of them. Through the week, I might just share with you about some of the different Bibles that we have. But if it can be a blessing to you, we do make those available. One church I went to in New Mexico, preacher said, we cannot get Bibles. You know, there's some areas, believe it or not, folks do not know what the internet is. I know that's hard to believe, but there is some areas where folks do not order things online and get things online. Everybody in Florida, I think, knows about it, but we was in New Mexico, and I took the Bibles there, and 70 Bibles were sold in about 4 days to a church that only ran 35 folks. So it's a blessing for some. So if you need a Bible, we do have different ones available. Amos chapter number 4 this morning. Amos chapter number 4, if you're able to, stand with me. Let's read a portion from the Word of God. Amos chapter number 4. And I hope you'll be back also this evening and through the rest of the week. Look forward to a good time. It might be God would come and visit with us. Could you imagine if you came to church and God just began to speak exactly what you need? You know, God can do that, and who knows, it might be this morning or tonight or Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday. God has the exact message that will help you to go ahead and live a Christian's life. So we hope you'll be present for all the services. Amos chapter 4, I'm directing your attention in verse number 6. The Bible says, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, want of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your garden and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increase. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we've had the singing this morning. Our hearts have been encouraged with the congregational hymns. Lord, the special music we've enjoyed. Father, we've enjoyed every part of the service, a good time of fellowship, but now we come to the preaching of the Word of God. I pray you might help, Lord, this morning as the Word of God goes forth. You know what's needed this morning. There's some folks here this morning, they need the touch of God in their lives. Lord, there's some here this morning, they're not sure they're going to heaven. Father, I just pray you'll use the message this morning. May the will of God be done. And Lord, everything that's done and said, we'll praise you and thank you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. An interesting passage of Scripture. When we come to Amos, you probably notice within this passage of Scripture, there's times that God says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. It's interesting. He went ahead and gave cleanness of teeth. There was a want of bread in many places. There was a famine in the land. Yet folks did not return to God. The rain was held back, and there were cities that did not get rain, and yet there was other cities that got more rain, and yet folks did not return to God. As I was reading this passage of Scripture, I started thinking on this thought, what will it take to get you closer to God? I read in the Word of God that there's two things that God uses to bring folks closer to Him. In the book of Romans, the Bible mentions in chapter 2 and verse number 4 about the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Do you realize God uses good things to bring folks closer to Him? If you have a good job, could I say God did it, that you might be closer to Him? If you have a good home today, God has given you that, that you might be closer to Him. You came to an came to church in an automobile. My, the air condition worked, the heat works, everything's working. You're not having to hold an umbrella as you're driving. I'm thinking for Him. Hey, that's the goodness of God, and He's done it that you might come to know Him and get closer to the Lord. But yet, many folks, they look at it differently. Some folks, they say, well, I went ahead and I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I'm the one that accomplished this. I climbed the corporate ladder. I went ahead and paid for this. I went ahead and paid monthly on this. And this is everything that I've done. And you don't recognize the goodness of God. But yet, God wants you closer to Him. So those that would not accept the goodness of God, according to what I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, God uses godly sorrow. Godly sorrow works repentance. God will take the problems and the tragedies and the trauma and the trials and the difficulty of our life. And the main reason these come into our life is God's trying to bring us closer to Him. My, I'm just thinking for a moment. Everything that takes place in life, God wants you closer. No matter who you might be, God's desire is that you might be closer to Him. I will say this morning, if you're lost here, you're not sure that heaven's your home, can I say God's doing everything He can to get you closer to Him, that you might come to a spot, you might be saved by the grace of God. If you're here this morning, you have been saved, God's taken all these different things and trying to conform you more like the image of His dear Son. God's desire is that we might be made closer to Him. I started looking in the Word of God, and as I started looking, I noticed a lot of different examples of different ones that went through things. Let me give you an example. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 4, a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. I would hate to be in first grade and having to learn that, how to spell my name on that day, but Nebuchadnezzar, here it is. He was a great king, and my God blessed him. He had a great kingdom. Great things taking place. He had one of the greatest empires at that time. And my God blessed him. He had wealth. He had prosperity. God's given him so much. And all of a sudden, when he looked at all the things that God's done, he said, I have built this place. I've done it. And it's all because of what I have done. The problem is he had an eye problem. It's all what I've done. It's all what I've done. And in the book of Daniel, chapter number 4 and verse 33, the Bible says, in the same hour was this thing fulfilled on Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. His hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. Do you realize that God took Nebuchadnezzar and used a breakdown in his life to try to get him closer to Him? Instead of going home that night, Nebuchadnezzar, a breakdown. He went out to the field and on all fours he began to eat grass just like an ox. Here it is, he didn't go come home and come to a nice fine bed. He didn't go ahead and pull covers up over, but he stayed outside and the dew from heaven fell upon Nebuchadnezzar there, and he stayed out all night through the night. I'm just thinking about the moon as it was shining. Maybe he was howling up at the moon. He went crazy. It was a breakdown in his life. The hairs on his head was no longer combed. He didn't look like a normal human being. His nails began to grow. They weren't cut. They weren't manicured. They weren't taken care of. And I'm thinking all this came on. You say, Brother Aguiar, why would God do this? That Nebuchadnezzar might be brought closer to God. And I read in the book of Daniel about the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. And God had to use a breakdown to break down that pride. You know, we as Americans, we have a lot of pride. I mean, look at us. We're the best nation in the world. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody's as, and then we go, we're the best state in the union. You know what I'm talking about? Can't say you have the best football game, but I'm just thinking for a moment. Here we think we're just the greatest. But God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm thinking for just a moment. You know, you read in Proverbs, there's seven things the Lord hates. One's an abomination, but he mentions the first thing, a proud look. Boy, we think they were the best things there are. Look at how great I am. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at the things that I've done. But I'll say this, had it not been for the grace of God, had it not been for God stepping into your life and taking control of your life, changing your life, oh, you and I would be burdened today in a Christless eternity. I'm just thinking for a moment here, Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of pride. And here it is, God used to break down in his life. Imagine just eating the grass. Imagine his hair all mixed up. Imagine the nails growing, the dew falling on his back. I'm talking about the king having a nervous breakdown. When I think about it, I also read in Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Here at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I bless the Most High. I praise and honor Him that liveth forever and ever. Here at the end of Nebuchadnezzar finally came to himself. He says, listen, it's not me. It's not my kingdom. My eyes had a breakdown, and I realize that it's God. Everything that's going on that's worthwhile is God. Everything that's taking place, it's all Him. It's only the grace of God that things have happened. I'm thinking for just a moment, God used godly sorrow. He used a breakdown to bring Nebuchadnezzar closer to him. As I read in Scripture, and if you'll turn with me, the book of Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. Some of you this year have went ahead and started reading your Bible. And some of you have determined, I'm going to read it from cover to cover. It's a good thing to do, and I hope you'll complete that this year. And so, if you decided to read your Bible through, you started in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You read about the heavens and the earth. We read in chapter 2 about a man, and chapter 3, how God went ahead and man sinned against God and God cast him out of the garden. We come to chapter 4 and we read about Cain and Abel, the different one. Then we get to chapter number 5, and there's names that only Alexander Scorby can pronounce. All these different folks that begat this person and begat this person and this person begat. And my, some of these names, they're not Fred, Joe, and Round. I mean, these are harder names and long syllable names. I'm just thinking for a moment. But we come to chapter 5. And in the midst of all the families, in the midst of all these begats, you might say, I read in verse chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. Would you notice with me in verse 22? And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. According to this passage of Scripture here, Enoch was 65 years old when baby Methuselah was born. Could you imagine the day? Here it is. His wife gives birth. He's holding this little baby boy. And my, here he goes ahead and names it Methuselah. You're talking about a rough name still in kindergarten to write. But here he names him Methuselah. And I could see how Enoch was so happy with his little boy. But for 65 years, Enoch was not really in contact with God. You say, how do you know it? If you notice verse 22, Enoch walked with God. Notice this phrase, after he begat Methuselah. 65 years lived on the way he wanted to live. 65 years to walk the way he wanted to walk. 65 years did everything he wanted. But the day Methuselah was born, God used this baby to bring Enoch closer to God. It says here, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. It took a little baby boy. Could I say children are a heritage of the Lord? They're not a mistake. They're not a problem. It's not an act. Children are the heritage of the Lord. It's a blessing to have youngins. It's a blessing to have grand youngins. You realize that grandchild is a blessing from God? You realize that grandson's a blessing from God? We just had one, one of our daughters just had a baby, and I'm thinking, it's 16 grandchild for us, but I'm just thinking, here it is. It's a blessing from God. And God took and gave Enoch a blessing. He did not use godly sorrow. He used his goodness to get Enoch to walk with God. I'm thinking for just a moment, Mom, Dad, you realize that child is looking at you? And maybe Enoch was thinking the same thing. He's going to look at the way I live. He's going to do the things that I do. He's going to walk in the steps that I walk. I need to make sure I walk with God. God used a baby to get Enoch closer to God. I'm thinking for just a moment, you know, parents, you can help your child to have a better life if you'll learn to walk with God. You could help your child to go ahead and get away from some of the garbage and make it through life and be able to succeed. Hey, if you would just walk with God. Grandma, Grandpa, listen, you could help that grandchild. You can maybe keep them from going to the prison. Maybe they could see a godly influence. Maybe they could go ahead and say, no, I don't want the dope. I don't want the alcohol. I want to live for God. There's a grandma and a grandpa living for God. And surely I can live for God too. God used a baby that he might go ahead and bring Enoch closer to God. All through the Bible, there's so many different odds and ends. Time won't allow me to go on with all the different things. God used a breakdown with Nebuchadnezzar. He used a baby with Enoch. We could talk about how Isaiah, God used a person being a bereavement. This one person died, King Uzziah. Here it is. He went ahead and passed away. He was a hero in Isaiah's life. He looked up to the hero. He looked up to the king. My, what a good king. What a great king. And God brought the death to Uzziah. And yet here, I'm thinking how it made Isaiah begin to see the Lord high and lifted up. I'm just thinking how in the Scriptures, all through the Word of God, God uses different things to bring folks closer to Him. What will it take to get you closer to God? It took a breakdown for Nebuchadnezzar. It took a baby for Enoch. It took bereavement for Isaiah, but I was reading in the book of Luke chapter 15. Here's a family and a father that had two sons. His younger son came to his father. He says, Father, I know I'm supposed to receive an inheritance. He says, but I want everything right now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want everything right now. Now, in the Jewish days, and as you read the study of the Scriptures here, many of them would lay up treasures for their children, lay up different things. They didn't have what we call life insurance. They literally had to get things and lay it up and keep it and store it. And so here it is, the father, he goes ahead and gets out the big old chest. And the Bible says with these two sons, he divided unto them his living. I could see taking something out of that chest and giving it to the older son, taking something out of that chest, giving it to the younger son. And I could see how he divided to them his living. In that chest was things that was precious. In that chest was things passed down from generation to generation. In that chest was things you would never get again if you ever lost it. But he divided unto them his living. The Bible says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance, the Bible says, on riotous living. Things that didn't make a difference. Things that didn't mount to a hill of being. Things that couldn't go ahead and say, look what I got. Here it is. Right. Just horrible living. He wasted everything. I'm thinking for just a moment how God has blessed so many. Am I here? You know children today that God's blessed with a good home. You know children today that God's blessed with good clothing. You know children today that have potential. But today in state prisons, there are some different ones that have wasted their lives. I had opportunity of preaching in a juvenile maximum security prison. And as I was preaching there, these were 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 11-year-olds. And here, I'm not talking about petty theft. I'm not talking about maybe throwing a rock and breaking a window. I'm talking about maximum security prison where there was murderers, mass murderers. And I'm just thinking for just a moment, Here it is. I'm just thinking about this. This prodigal son wasted his life, wasted everything, has things that he could never get back again. He finally ran out of money. The Bible says that he went and joined himself as a citizen of that country. They sent him out to feed swine. Now, if you read the Bible correctly, the Bible is a Jewish book. I don't know if you realize this, but it is a Jewish book. And here it is, this father, he's a Jew and he has Jewish sons. One of the things about a Jew is that a Jew could not mess with the pigs. He could not eat bacon. That would kill most of us. No ham, no pork chops. And here this son went so low. He got so far in the pig pen of sin. He went bankrupt so much that he went ahead and said, I'll go ahead and work with the pigs. Could you see him every day going out to the place and slopping the hogs? I've slopped hogs before. You know what I'm... Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. We got some city folks here. But there are hogs that have been slopped. And boy, you take a bucket of slop and boy, you go over there, you open up the pen. The pigs are not very mannerful. They don't have manners. He just jumps. And finally, here, he's carrying that bucket and he's so far into sin. So messed up, so bankrupt, he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. I tell you, at the moment, as I've slopped hogs, I've never been so hungry. I said, boy, that looks good. I'm thinking for just a moment, here it is, God brought him to a spot of bankruptcy. He brought him to a spot where there was nothing else. And my, he wanted even the slop of the world. I'm thinking how God used bankruptcy. And my, he threw it there and the pigs dived in. And then he came to himself. He says, wait a minute, what am I doing here? My father has servants. They're living a lot better than I'm living. I need to arise and go to my father. God used a bankruptcy to get him closer to the Father. I'm just thinking for a moment, what is it going to take to get you closer to God? Nebuchadnezzar, God used a breakdown. Enoch, God used a baby. Isaiah, God used bereavement. This prodigal, God used bankruptcy. But then I start to think for just a moment, in a town called Jericho, with a sinful woman, God used the bread from heaven. You recall with me in the book of Exodus as the children of Israel left the land of Egypt. And here they come to a Red Sea. The Egyptian army is behind them. And by we see how God opened up the Red Sea and the children of Israel went across on dry ground. After some time, here it is, the Egyptian army comes, and my, after the children of Israel are on the other side. Now keep in mind, we're talking about 3 million people, the Israelites, crossing the Red Sea. For that to take place, the waters of the Red Sea literally had to have been pushed back over 1,500 feet. Could you just imagine with me? That's 5 football fields. Had to be pushed back 50 for all the children of Israel to cross in one night. The Egyptian army comes. And here they're going to do the same thing the children of God are. But it doesn't work that way. God brings the water. He destroys the entire amount of Egyptians. I guarantee you that news was placed all around in all the cities. Could you see it? Here it is in the land of Jericho. It was broadcast. The children of Israel came across through the Red Sea. No one died. I could just imagine the headlines. And in this home that read the newspaper, they read about it. All of a sudden they're thinking they made it across. And maybe it was told to their children. Maybe later on there's a little girl that's now born. And my, here after 20-some years, but that news is still there. And here it was told that the children of Israel came across on dry ground. I'm thinking for a moment there's a little girl that maybe was born after they came across, but mama and dad told them, boy, there's something great that took place. And then they got news that the children of Israel destroyed the king of Og and the king of Sidon. And my, here it made the news of Jericho. And all of a sudden they found out that the children of Israel was being fed every day. Imagine 3 million people being fed. Now, I'm not sure about populations. I don't know how many folks are in Miami. Is there 1 million folks in Miami? I don't think so. I think it's under 1 million. But imagine 3 Miamis being taken care of with food every day. That's our God. And so I'm thinking Jericho, there was the newspapers that went out here that God's feeding them bread. And this young girl by the name of Rahab has read about it. But yet her life is so messed up. The only thing she can get involved in is a horrible occupation. Rahab, the harlot. After 40 years in the wilderness with the children of Israel, God directs them to come to the promised land. But Joshua sends 2 spies over. Here it is, they spied out the armies, they spied out the land, the walls, they looked over everything. And all of a sudden here now, they're looking for a place to spend the night. And they knock on a door, never knowing what the door was. And here opens the door, Rahab, the harlot. It's interesting to note that here Rahab goes ahead and says something. We have heard. You know what she heard? She heard the goodness of God. She heard that God was good to His people. She heard that God supplied the need. How God took them, God fed them. God clothed them with the same type of clothing for 40 years. Their clothes did not wear out. You imagine a teenager with jeans? Their clothes didn't. You say, what type of jeans were they? Levi. One of the tribes probably made it. I don't know. I'm thinking, but it didn't work. God was a good God, and they read about all the goodness of God. They read how good God was. And she says, we have heard. Would you think with me on this thought? Maybe the reason God's blessed you, maybe the reason God's given you bread, maybe the reason God has been shown His favor so much is because there's somebody down the road, they got their eye on you, and they're looking at you, and they're looking at your God. It might be they're watching everything in your life. They see how, and my, if we could just talk to them, they might say, we have heard. I'm thinking how God today, He might be using the goodness of God in your life. Oh, you're here today. You got a nice automobile. You got a nice home. Things are going pretty good. You say, Brother Aguirre, what should I do? Oh, listen, just go ahead and keep living for God because somebody's watching you. They see your God. Through this, Rahab was able to come to know God Jehovah. And I'll say this, God won't allow me to preach it this week. Next week I'll probably be preaching on the whole week of meetings on this one thought, how God went ahead and took a person that was a non-Gentile and put her into the lineage of Christ. It was Rahab the harlot. Just because she heard. Somebody was an example. I'm thinking, what is it going to take to bring somebody to God? God used a breakdown for Nebuchadnezzar. He used a baby for Enoch. He used bereavement for Isaiah. He used bankruptcy for a prodigal son. He used the bread from heaven for a woman. And I give you the last thought, I'm through. He used a bitter cup for David. David, the king at the time, God, he accomplished so much. We know about David and Goliath, how he went. If you was here in Sunday school, I mentioned how he killed a bear and protecting his flock and killed a lion protecting his flock. But David got to the point, he says, why should I have to do any more? Why should I have to go to war? I got good men. I got good soldiers. I got good captains. I got good I'm going to let them go for me. And the Bible says David tarried at Jerusalem. When the other men was out at the war, and when King David should have been, but he let someone else do his job. Here it is, David abode back at the palace, back in Jerusalem. Could I say this? You got a good church, you got a good pastor, but your church cannot fight your battles. Your pastor cannot fight your battles. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You have to stand against the wiles of the devil. But David said, no, I'll abide back here. And we find out late at night, here it is, he's bored, nothing to do, sleep has left him. And so he goes to the top of the roof, like into a porch, a balcony. He goes over, looks there, maybe there's a rail, and he's looking over all the kingdom. And my, he's thinking about all that he has. And down just a ways, there's a woman he sees washing herself. Her husband's in the military. Their men are gone to war. She never knew late at night that there was a king that was standing there watching her. Never knew that there was somebody high up on the roof of his house watching her. We know the scriptures, how David went ahead and sinned, committed an awful act of adultery. And my, after some time, here she's now with child. So David goes ahead, he tries to hide it, and my, it's not working, so he ends up having the husband killed. And David thinks everything's all right, it's all swept under the carpet, all under the, nobody knows about it! And then God sends a preacher around. You ever been in service when you think the preacher was looking in your windows because he mentioned everything you've done? Well, here it is. Nathan the prophet comes in, tells him a simple story, tells him what's taking place. David's outraged over the story. Can't believe it took place. And David says, that man that's done that, he'll restore fourfold. That prophet looks at David. And I can see him pointing his finger at him. He says, you're the man. Thou art the man. You know, David put a judgment on his life. He pronounced his own judgment. He said, the man's going to restore fourfold. Time won't allow me to go into it. But when you begin to read about David's life, four major tragedies in his home. Four major, you know, sin, when it comes to Ruth, it's horrible. When sin finally goes there, it might seem fun for a while. It might seem like everything's going good. Oh, they'll give you the wrong report. That might show a nice person with some alcohol. It looks pretty glamorous on the billboard. But show them the wreck that takes place later on. Show them the funeral home. Show them the families that have been wrecked and ruined. Hey, I'm just saying, it's horrible when sin begins to ruse. Four major tragedies. I can see King David, each one weeping. I see him with the first one just weeping. I see him with the second one crying out to God, oh, Absalom, my son. Absalom, my son. I just see each time, oh, the bitter cup. You say, why would God do that? God was trying to do something. He was trying to get David back where he used to be, trying to get him closer to him. He used a bitter cup. Finally, David in Psalm 51 and verse 12, he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, I want to be closer to you. I want that joy once again. I've lost it because of sin. I got involved in the junk of the world, the sin of the world. Lord, would you restore the joy once again in my life? What will it take to get you closer to God? God used the time of a breakdown for Nebuchadnezzar. He used a baby for Enoch. He went ahead and used bereavement for Isaiah. Used bankruptcy for a prodigal son. Used the bread of heaven for a woman in Jericho. Used a bitter cup for David. All that he might bring him closer to him. This morning, would you think with me for a moment? Everything that's gone on in your life, let's take the good, let's take the bad. Let's go ahead and try to get a conclusion of all the bad things, all the good. Let's go ahead and bring it into one conclusion. And if we can bring that conclusion, it's this: God's doing everything to get you closer to Him. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're going through right now. It might be things are going real good, but I will say this, whatever it is, God wants you closer to Him. And He's used all these different things in life. And my, if we could just look at the heart of God. If you're here today, you've never been saved. I want to just report to you that God's a good God. He's not a God throwing lightning bolts, just ready to destroy, ready to go ahead. I want you to know the grace of God is being extended this morning. Oh, He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I want you to know I have a good God. And if you could look over all your life, my, you're here. You're not saved. You know you're not going to heaven. God even brought you here to church today for one reason. He wants to see you saved. And take all those good and bad. He's trying to bring you to salvation today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. For those of you that are saved today, there's things that's gone on in your life, good and bad. You say, Brother Aguirre, why is this taking place? Why is this? Has God blessed me here? Or why is God? For one reason, He's just trying to get you closer. He's just trying to draw you closer to Him. He's trying to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, Amos, so many times he says, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." I think for just a moment, after all these things, God says, "Yet you have not returned. Yet you have not returned. I've slain some of you with the sword. Yet you have not returned. I went ahead and overthrown some of the cities. Yet you have not returned." Finally he says, "Thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God." I ask you a question, and I'm closing this morning. How much longer are you going to say no to God? He's asking you. He's begging you. He wants you to come this morning. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here today, you've never been saved, I'm going to ask if you'll do something. The pastor will be here in the front. He'll be glad to take the Bible and with the Word of God show you how to be saved. There's others that will be glad to show you how you can be saved. And I'm just asking you to come this morning during the invitation. There might be Christians. Maybe you want to gather around the altar, spend time in prayer. Maybe saying, "God, you've blessed me here. You've done this. You've done this. And Lord, I just want to get close to you. I want to have the joy of salvation. I just want you to rule in my life. I just want to be closer, made more like thee." What will it take to bring you closer to God? Would you stand with me this morning, everyone? Standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, this morning the message has been preached. Each person has listened, Lord, so closely to the Word of God. Lord, I'm wondering this morning, what will it take to get us closer to you? Lord, you sure have been good. You blessed. Lord, you've been more than what we ever deserve. Lord, you've been so good, and you use that goodness that we might be drawn closer to you. Lord, there's even problems that's come, and Lord, those problems is for a reason. You're trying to draw us closer to you. Lord, I'm just wondering if there might be some here this morning. They're not saved. Lord, this morning, if they'll come during this invitation, Lord, the preacher be glad to help them. Others be glad to show them how they can be saved this morning. I pray they'll step out. There's Christians here this morning. Maybe they want to gather around the altar. Lord, it'd be a good time to come and just say, "Lord, here's my life. I want to be drawn closer to you." Father, use the message. What will it take to get us closer to God? Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pianist playing this morning. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe you'd like to leave your seat and come around this altar. Would you come this morning? God's speaking to you. Would you step out? You say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Would you come this morning? Somebody could help you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God's speaking to hearts this morning. Won't you step out? Oh, that God might save my soul. You're here this morning. You're wondering that. If God could save me. Brother Aguirre, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but I know what He's done. He's willing to save you this morning. Won't you come this morning? Piano's playing another verse. You step out this morning. Let the Lord have His will and way. Christians, how close are you to God this morning? Would you let Him have His way in your life? Piano's playing, and Father, may the will of God be done. Pray you'll speak to hearts and lives. Lord, you've taken some good things in our life. Lord, you're trying to draw us closer to you. You've taken some tragedies, some troubles, some trials. Lord, you're trying to draw us closer to you. May we respond, Lord, to the message of the Word of God. Father, may Your will be done. Some, Lord, this morning they need to step out. I pray they'll come. Bless the invitation. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 312 in your psalm books, 312. God speaking to your heart. You want to come on this very first verse? Whatever your need might be, you come this morning. Whatever your need is, 312. Let's sing this song together. Open my eyes that I might see.